This is Coffee Number 5. I'm your host, Lara Schmoisman.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Coffee Number 5. And today I was thinking, like, there are so many beauty lines out there. And when I started in this beauty industry, I met a lot of people that say, yeah, I have a beauty line. And I was like, is that easy to have a beauty line? How do you even start doing that? And then my clients were coming. I was, oh, I didn't know that I need marketing to have a beauty line. So today I want to start from the beginning. And we have a special guest. And I apologize in advance if I mispronounce your last name, Lorraine Dalmire.
Did I say Dalmire? Yep.
Okay, Nayred. So welcome to Coffee Number 5. Thank you so much. You are based in the UK and you help so many people to formulate their brands and their lines of products and cosmetics. So can you explain to us what's a formulator and what do you do and how you even start with a cosmetics line?
Okay, lots of questions. Hi, I'm Lorraine Dalmire. I'm the CEO of Formula Botanica, and we're the online organic cosmetic formulation school. So we teach people how to make their own cosmetics, skincare, hair care, a little bit of makeup as well, using natural botanical ingredients. And then we teach them how to turn that into a business. Because you're right, there are a lot of people out there who realize that this is their ticket out of their day job. They want to start their own business. They want to do something that they can really get hold of and that is easy and accessible. And a beauty line is typically it. So there are many, many thousands of indie beauty entrepreneurs out there. Some of them keep their businesses very, very small. Some of them go meteoric and get bought up by the big players. And we have trained a significant proportion of them. So we have over 18,000 students, almost 19,000 in 183 countries at the moment, which is mind-blowing. And so we train them up to become formulators. And then we also have a business diploma. So we train them how to start their own beauty line with that.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. I want to go step by step. So someone comes to you and say, I have an idea for a beauty line or I have an idea for a product. How do you start?
They come to us and say, I want to learn to make a product. They might have an idea in their head, but they don't know how to do it. So they then enroll with us on our courses and we teach them how to make balms and butters and lotions and scrubs and foaming cleansers and all sorts of different products using naturally derived and natural ingredients. And so by the time they complete their courses, they have made an entire range of skincare or hair care, depending on which course they're taking. And those products, they then understand how to sell them and how they can make them compliant. And then we also have programs that teach you how to then create a business off the back of that.
So, okay. So let's say I have an idea and I enroll in your course because I found a lot of people that, first of all, if I have one product, do you think that it's sellable? Because everyone seems to be worried to go into retail. Some people, very few, I will say, they want to go into marketplaces like Amazon or online. So can you explain the difference of those two streams of selling? And can you just start with one product?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we recommend that small brands, particularly small brand owners, start with either one product, a hero product or a capsule range. Now, you're right. You immediately touched on part of the issue with that is if you want to go into big retail, they typically want you to be able to fill a shelf. But when you've just started a small brand, you don't typically go straight into retail, particularly not the students that we deal with. They often start growing organically. Typically, they sell D2C, direct to consumer, initially through websites, through social media, and then they start to work with smaller retailers and scale their way up to the bigger ones. We have graduates who have raised millions, tens of millions in investment funding and are literally everywhere in Sephora and Target. We also have graduates who make tiny batches and sell at market stalls. So there's a huge range in there. And it depends very much on where you want to sell. But most of our students want to start with that direct-to-consumer selling because it is something that they understand a bit better. And it allows them to really test the marketplace to find out if their product has legs, basically, if people want to buy it.
Well, I love that because there are so many people, and this is one of the things I always tell my clients, you cannot fall in love with your product that then you're blind.
Yeah.
You need desert waters. And sometimes what it will take is just a rebranding. It will take just the packaging. The product is fantastic, but the packaging is not aligning.
Yeah, no, very true. You have to start small, I believe, anyway. I know some people go in big. Some of the big brands, they start massively and they want to go straight into retail, but they have the infrastructure set up for it. And many of the indie beauty entrepreneurs out there haven't done this before, so they do need to test the water and make sure that they're not just formulating for themselves and their own skin.
Let's make this clear. Making even one product, it costs money.
Yes.
It's cheap to do it. And you're going to have to deal not only with the formulation, you're going to be dealing with packaging, to selecting the bottles, to do the design, to have your website. There's so many things that you need to keep in consideration because it's just not about the product itself.
That's true. But I would disagree with you on the fact that it doesn't have to be, that it is expensive. I have watched many of our graduates do this on a shoestring budget. And when I say that, I mean, you know, maybe a couple of $1,000s, which I know to a lot of people is a lot of money, and I don't want to disrespect that. But in the grand scheme of things, starting a business with a few $1,000s is not going to, you know, sort of set the world on fire. It's not going to cost that much.
How do you start running a business on a formula with $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000? What you can get for that money?
You can get quite a lot for it. It depends how big the batches are that you make, of course. Because if you start out and you say, right, I'm going to make 2,000 units straight away, then yes, you will need more than $2,000. But you don't have the audience yet when you're starting out. You don't have 2,000 people sat there ready to buy from you unless you have some very good marketing systems in place. So typically, most people will start with really small batches. And that can be very affordable. And I mean, there are so many affordable tools online now as well for setting up websites. Most people manage all the components of their business themselves. I mean, this is how I did it 10 years ago when I first started out. I'm not running my beauty brand, but running Formula Botanica. I was doing everything. And that's how most solopreneurs start as well. And packaging, again, it depends on where you're sourcing your packaging from. If you're buying it from retailers who have incredibly high minimum order quantities and want to sell you 3,000 units, then yes, you're going to spend a lot of money on that. But I don't know many indie beauty entrepreneurs who go down that route when they first start out. So it can be very affordable.
How can you get, because in my experience of, for the people that I know, there is a lot of, the minimum quantities will be like for the packagings or bottles, it will be 5Ks. At the minimum, it's really hard to find smaller quantities than that.
It depends where you're buying from. I mean, if you want very bespoke packaging that is specifically made for your company, then yes, you will. Of course, there'll be high minimum order quantities, but the vast majority of indie beauty entrepreneurs that I work with typically source packaging from small retailers online. And you're paying more per unit. Obviously, the cost price of your overall unit will go up that way. But it means you're not saddled with thousands of units of packaging that you haven't used yet.
I understand all that, but how can you make your brand stand out and maybe unique when you're sourcing out just normal packaging or like...
Okay, well, let me give you an example. Yeah. I have one of our graduates. It's called Nopalera. Mm-hmm. She's in New York, Sandra.
Yeah, and I know her well.
Well, there you go. I mean, her story is incredible. She started in the pandemic making DIY products at home. And then she took our course. She flew through it. She learned how to formulate. In November 2020, she launched. The money she had was enough to make one batch. That's it. And to take the course. And then by month two, she'd moved into commercial premises because demand was so great. By month three, she was in 50 retailers. Now we're 2.5 years on, she's in 450 retailers and she's raised millions. And what she did to differentiate herself was obviously she has a big mission. And that's what any successful brand owner needs to do. They need to know exactly who they are and where they stand in the world. And that's how you differentiate yourself. And you don't need to have millions to do that.
That's a great information for anyone who wants to start. But how, I mean, you set the mission, but how you can differentiate yourself as a brand besides your mission? How can you make sure that your product is unique and that you're not competing? Because a lot of people, you need to know what your goals. I want to be in this shelf. You need to imagine yourself, I mean, where you want to fit your brand. But there is a lot of competition. So how can you be different?
The main way is your brand. I mean, there are no new products really out there in terms of formulations. Anyone who shops for beauty will know that. There are always new ingredients to experiment with. There are always new little tips and tricks, and people come up with new types of formulations that are just sort of old ones reinvented in a different way. But the main way to differentiate yourself, and it's the same in any industry, is through who you are, what your mission is, and what you stand for.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question. So if someone takes your program, how your program works and how long it is and what they're going to learn?
So we have various courses, but most people start with our foundation diploma in organic skincare formulation. And in that, they will learn how to create their own formulations. So they're not following recipes. They're learning how to create their own from scratch. And that's the difference between someone who follows recipes online and someone who becomes a formulator. And then they go through that program. They also learn all the legalities around labeling, claims, compliance worldwide. We talk them through a little bit of marketing and branding at that point, safety, good manufacturing practice, all of that. And you can complete that in about 50 hours, actually. But we give people a very generous time frame to complete it in. They have up to 2 years because it's a self-study program. So people work through it at their own pace in their own time. And then we have a variety of other courses that are similar to that. We have shorter ones as well that focus on very niche topics like stability testing, natural cosmetic preservation. We sell the whole suite together in one giant entrepreneur program as well, where we give people 3 years, but you can get through the program in, I don't know, about 200 hours. So it's very, very achievable.
Amazing. And you just mentioned something that it was very interesting to me, that it was labeling. Because labeling is tricky, depends on each country you are in. And would you recommend that someone who starts with their line goes with one language, multiple languages? What's the right way to do it?
It depends on the country you're in. The legislation, the regulations vary from country to country. Like in Canada, they would like you to do it in English and in French. Here in the UK, obviously, it's just English. There are various requirements depending on where you are in the world.
But if you have someone who's starting with a batch of, they're already doing their packaging, what would you recommend? If they're doing their packaging and they're doing a minimum order that is quite large, what would you recommend?
Then it depends on where they're selling in the world. I mean, it's very easy for me to say put 16 languages on there, but that's not particularly helpful either. It depends entirely on who you are and where you're selling.
Okay, that's great. So when you finally have your product and you love your product, how do you do it? How do you approach to buyers? How you can get your brand out there? How do you approach retail?
Well, I mean, I personally don't go out and approach retail, obviously, but this is what some of our students do if they want to go to that level. And many of them do. And it depends a bit on what their brand is and what they stand for. So first of all, you have to understand where your brand fits in the market. Do you have a premium product? Do you have a masstige product? Do you have a sort of affordable product that you want everywhere? And then you have to start pinpointing retailers that you think might be good for you. Now, I hear a lot of small indie brands go, right, I want to go straight to Sephora, and they've never sold to a retailer before. Clearly, that's not the most sensible way to do it, because first of all, you need to cut your teeth a little bit on this and learn how to work with retailers. Plus, I'm fairly sure that most small indie brands, if they made that leap straight into a huge retailer, it would break them. But you start to work with smaller retailers, you start to discover what their needs are in terms of marketing as well, because you will be marketing your brand, even if it's stocked by someone else. And then once you're ready to pitch to the big players, hopefully you have that experience and you're ready to go. And then it's a matter of hustling. And it's about meeting the right people, being in the right place. It's much like anyone, really. You're not really going to walk straight into a big retailer. You're going to have to hustle your way in there.
Absolutely. And there is something that probably you can help us guide us to also, because when you are working with retail, you're not only going to have to pay for a wholesale price of your products. You're going to have to negotiate that. It's not going to be the same product that you do D2C, but also in many of the retailers, you need to commit certain marketing amount.
True. Yeah. You will have to market your product. It's a common misconception that people think they'll go into a retailer, hand over their products, and that the retailer will do all the work for them. But that is simply not the case. And it's hard work. I've also spoken to indie brands who misjudged how much work that would be. I once talked to someone who was in 60 retailers in their country, and they couldn't handle it. It was too much for her and her small team, so she ended up having to pull out of a lot of them because the marketing requirements are significant.
Can you explain a little bit about those marketing requirements?
Yeah, I mean, we cover a lot of this in our programs. It's more about training up the staff, knowing that they are there to represent your brand properly, making sure that you provide marketing assets. They'll often need testers. You'll have to sometimes be on the shop floor. There will be a whole range of different checks and balances that you have to do as well to make sure that your stock is fresh, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of work involved. And as I said, we teach all of this in our diploma in beauty brand business management for people who do want to go down that route.
And that's amazing. And that's really important that you mention it, because it also, as a founder, it takes a lot of time. I have some of my clients that you need to fly to different stores to train them. And at the beginning, it's your baby, so you don't have a team that they will help you do that. So it would be everything on the founder.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why you need to start manageable. Because if you try and go into 50 retailers straight away and they all have massive requirements and it's just you, that is probably too much work for one person. But it depends who those retailers are, how they operate, how many units they stock. There is so much involved with that.
Absolutely. So let's go back to basics. And when you are creating a formulation, you create a formulation based on a target audience or concern. How do you recommend to create a formulation?
So you've just said it. It's based on who you're actually formulating for. Now, when people are going through our course, they're just learning to formulate. And after that, if they decide they want to start a brand, then yes, obviously they have to figure out who they're formulating for. And one of the biggest mistakes I've seen is that people formulate for themselves and then think, I have a range, I'm going to sell this. And I've heard that comment so many times. So yes, you have to know exactly who that person is. You also, I'm starting to see that the industry is getting very bored of skincare brands that target women in their 30s, when there's such a diversity of humans out there that people could be targeting. And I see quite a few underserved populations, particularly, for instance, people in their 60s and 70s.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I agree, like I was saying, that I see a lot of people creating brands for themselves. And yes, doing research is something that is super important. Uh-huh. When you're going to invest money, you need to really assure yourself that there's a target audience out there, that they're interested in your product.
Very true. Because if they're not, then you are putting a lot of money into something that won't sell, because you can't just sell to yourself.
For yourself. You're going to have a stock of products for yourself.
Exactly.
But also, you need to know that you're having not only the target audience, you need to know who are your competitors. I have so many people coming with ideas to me, and I said, did you check who is in that marketplace? Do you check who are your competitors? Can you compete? Yeah. Because creating your formulations also will have a cost. You need to create the cost for your, like you said, if you start small, it's going to cost you more per unit than when you go large. But it has a cost. Shipping has a cost. So you need to see that if you can compete in that market with that price point.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people misjudge who their competitors are, because they often look at the big players and go, those are my competitors. Those are not their competitors. So you're quite right. You need to know exactly where you stand. And that's all part of creating your business plan for your beauty brand. We teach all of this. So by the end of our business diploma, people have the opportunity to have created their own business plan at that point.
That's amazing. Well, I'm so glad we had this talk. And of course, for you listening, we are going to put all the notes and all the links. I don't know if, Lauren, there is anything that you want to share specifically for our audience.
Well, we always teach big free classes on formulation. We have one that's coming out imminently in April. I'm not sure when this episode is coming out, but there'll be a huge free masterclass where we'll be teaching people how to make a botanical face cream. We typically have 40,000-50,000 people take part each time. So it's a huge
online. I want to be there.
Yes. Well, I hope you join in. And that would be my biggest recommendation. If anyone listening wants to learn to come and formulate, then we always have something free on our website. So come and join us.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for being here and having coffee with me today. And to
you
guys, I see you next week with more Coffee Number 5.
Find everything you need at larashmoisman.com or in the episode notes right below. Don't forget to subscribe. It was so good to have you here today.
See you next time. Catch you on the flip side. Ciao, ciao.